Dear fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus,
a most blessed and most merry and most happy Christmas
to each and every one of you on this great festival of the Nativity of our Lord. We've read from Luke 2 already this evening, and we're going to read again. I'm going to read it from the familiar King James translation, and it's there in your worship folder in a more modern translation, so you can follow along with both of them. You're going to hear it and hear it and hear it tonight, and one of the reasons is that I'm so very much afraid that the day is coming, God forbid, in which these words will become unfamiliar. These words mark the turning point in the human race, the turning point in the history of the world. Before the incarnation of Christ, the redemption of the world was promised. Following his resurrection, it is an accomplished historical fact. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. This is the word of the Lord. Now, let's say that these words are, in fact, unfamiliar to you. Or maybe familiar to you, but unfamiliar to your friends and to your family. Let me enlighten you as to their import. Well, let's say that you've just heard them so often, and you had to memorize them so many times in Sunday school for so many children's services, and you've become jaded. So it's just like a buzzing in the ears. Or Let's say that the pain and anguish and burdens of life rest so heavy upon you this night that it's hard for these words to break in, to touch your senses. Or, let's say that you remember these words good and well, and you just want to savor them like you do any words that are just so full of joy. Well, however you are found in the Lord's house this evening, however you are as these words come to you tonight, we can surely begin with this. The importance of these words is summarized even within them, summarized by the angel of the Lord, his chosen messenger. For unto you, he told the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Well, first, you can learn that these words are important to you because he is born to you. He is born for you, on your behalf, whoever you are. The angel had already said, these are good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You know, there were only two ancestors, two forebears of our race, Adam and Eve. You are their descendant, and so am I, and so are all of us, whoever you are. And so is Jesus. He is likewise their descendant. And that's important. Just as the sin of one man, our forebear, Adam, brought sin and death to all of his descendants, so it is that the righteous life and the sacrificial death of one of his descendants has made satisfaction for the sins of all of his descendants. His sacrificial death has made satisfaction for your sins, whoever you are. That's why I started out this evening, dear fellow redeemed, because I know whoever you are, you have been redeemed by Christ, your fellow descendant of Adam, your fellow son of Adam, or you may be a daughter of Eve. And Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 5, explaining the significance of this. He says, for if because of one man's trespass, he's talking about Adam there, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Yes, indeed. Jesus is born for you. And he was born, remember, into our history. It isn't too much to say that his birth is the turning point of history. Jesus is not just an idea. He's no mere symbolic man. He's no composite character made up by the early church or a bunch of his disciples. No. For unto you is born, the angel told the shepherds, this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There's a time there's a place. It's history. And of course, if you remember how we started out that reading, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. And Luke carefully defines what's happening here as something that happens at a particular time and in a particular place. Our salvation, our relationship to God, isn't defined by some subjective feeling you might have. But it's based upon an historical reality that is fixed in time and in history, and upon which you can depend. So Luke tells us that there was a day in history in which Jesus was conceived by Mary, by the Holy Spirit. And there was a day in history upon which he was born from her, as each of us was born from our own mother. There was and is a place where the birth occurred. It was in Bethlehem, and it was foretold centuries ahead of time by the prophet Micah, where he would be born, Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. These words are important because they tell us that the Savior was born unto you, and he was truly born into our history. And then you also need to know that he is born our true Savior. He's your real and perfect Savior. The word Savior means rescuer. He is your rescuer from your sins. He is your rescuer from death. He is your rescuer from hell. Now, I know that you have things that trouble you today. I know it's Christmas Eve. We're all supposed to be happy. Whose happiness and joy is ever unalloyed, without tinge? And you'd like to have relief today, I bet. It may be stress, financial troubles, grief, physical limitations, age. It might be just plain old ordinary pain that has insisted in following you into this house of worship tonight. And so you wish you could have some immediate relief. The fact that Jesus, when he lived and during his ministry, the fact that he relieved all of those troubles like ours in his life of kindness and righteousness tells us that being our Savior from sin, he is our Savior also from all the world's woes. Yeah, he's our Savior from sin. But you might as well reflect also on the fact he's our Savior from lack of self-control with a credit card. He's our Savior from those bills that are going to come. He's our Savior from the infirmities of age. He's our Savior from that difficult time with the relatives. He's our Savior from all our woes and from all the afflictions that are brought into the world because of our own sin. Now, that's a stumbling block for some people. I understand that. Sin is something that people believe in when it's somebody else who does it against me. Sin's a good topic to talk about when I'm thinking of somebody to blame. Maybe it's the rich. Maybe it's the lazy people. Maybe it's the Republicans. Maybe it's the Democrats. Maybe it's the Americans, the Muslims, the Jews. There's no problem finding somebody to blame. There's no trouble finding out the sins of others Some scandal cheats specialize in making sure everybody knows. But the scriptures tell us that you have trouble in this world, not just because of the sin of Adam, though that's true, and not just because other people sin against us, that is true, but you have trouble in this world because of your own sin. And because of your sin, you will die. It says in Romans 5 again, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so, what's the conclusion? Death spread to all men because all sinned. But the good news is that he is our true Savior. That when Jesus delivers us fully from this sinful earth and life, and when we rise again in righteousness, we will no longer face guilt, no longer be burdened by our sins, and we will no longer face the troubles of life, for he will destroy all our enemies. And as Paul says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death, 1 Corinthians 15. So life in fullness and joy. Pause, making sure that we let that sink in. Life in fullness and joy is his gift to you because he is born our true Savior. So he's born unto you. He is, in fact, our true Savior. And all of this is possible because the baby born of Mary is not only a son of Adam, as we are, but is Jesus the Christ, the Lord. Jesus is the Christ. That's a title. Christ is Greek. Messiah is Hebrew. They both mean the same thing. He is the Anointed One. Jesus is the one who was chosen and anointed to be our Redeemer, our substitute. Nobody else has ever been anointed with the Holy Spirit as Jesus is. Nobody else has ever been chosen to stand in our place as our righteousness because of the righteousness of his life, or to stand in our place as the sinner because he bore our sin. Nobody else was chosen to be our Redeemer, to make satisfaction for our sins, and to rise again to life, to be the very first of all the sons of Adam, of all of Adam and Eve's descendants, to rise in glory, never to die again. There is only one Messiah. There is only one Christ, because there is only one Son of Adam who is also the Lord. He's God. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus himself declared to the people in John chapter 8, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is the eternal one. Before all things, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, it's no less than God who chose to be man and to be our Savior. So let it be said of all of us here that never in our lives, never in the lives of those of our family and loved ones, never in the lives of any that we touch shall the importance of these words be lost. Never shall the importance of Christmas be lost to us. For unto you was born that day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.